Well, thank you so much for tuning in again to another week of Providence Coffee Talk. I'm Pastor Charles. I'm excited that you have jumped in to listen to another episode. And hopefully last week was encouraging and beneficial to you. And we're going to follow up with some of that stuff this week. But before we begin, there was one thing that we did last week where we talked about adding a game to it. And a lot of you have chimed in on that, like how many uhs and ums and us I said in the middle of the conversation. So thank you guys so much for listening, counting those up. And we'll be getting a little prize package together and giving it to our winner here fairly soon. But the one thing I did forget last week that I'm trying to do every week, and sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't, is I forgot to mention that I did have a cup of coffee in hand last week while we were in the middle of recording. And I do have a cup of coffee this week, and I'm excited about it as well. This is a coffee that I roasted at my house because right now, most of what I'm doing is just home roasting. I have talked with some friends of mine that roast across the country. And then I've also gonna look at local roasters to try to get some things in, but I was excited about the coffee I have last week, and I'm excited about the one I have this week because it was a Guatemalan natural process, and golly, this coffee is just so good. It really brings about different kind of fruity notes and kind of earthy notes. And so when a lot of times people think about coffee, they think it's just bitter. They think it's just real bitter and dark. So they really, they'll sugar it up and they'll put a bunch of creamer in it. And I mean, if that's you 100%, that's okay. Scripture says that we are to grow in maturity and faith and maturity. And so my hope is that God will, increase your ability to, grow in maturity of coffee over time. I'm just kidding. But for me, I really try my best to bring out as many notes as I can in the coffee when I roast it. And sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not great. But overall, I think last week was a great cup of coffee. Like I said, it was a Guatemalan natural process. You got a lot of kind of a berry and brown sugar undertones. And so just imagine getting one of those delicious strawberry biscuits with that kind of a beautiful glaze on top of it, and having that paired with that coffee, it would have been amazing. Didn't have a strawberry biscuit with me, but hopefully some of you guys listening, you'll figure out a way to make that happen. If you got a good recipe, you can send it to me. But we do also have coffee this week. This week is a Zambian natural process, which if you know anything about coffee, there's different processes that coffee growers use to get the coffee picked and then process. One, the natural process is essentially they lay it out and the sun dries off the cherry that's on the bean. But what happens is the bean continues to absorb a lot of that flavor of that coffee cherry. And so the natural process is kind of what I lean to. The other process is like a washed process. So it goes through a little bit of a cleaning process before it gets to you, the roaster. But the Zambian is also kind of similar in that it has a lot of kind of fruit, lemony type undertones. And so that's today's coffee. It's super good. I'm excited about it. I like it. And if you like coffee, it'd be great to chat with you about kind of how you can pull the different notes and different things like that from it. And when you go to buy coffee, or maybe you're interested in home roasting, there's me and there's some other guys at church that could help you kind of get started on that. We'd love to talk with you about what it means to roast from home and how you can kind of do that. But for our time today, for this week, I'm going to grab a quick sip and we're going to get rolling. All right. So this week's been a great week. As I said, that there's been a lot that's been going on. We've had our after school program this week, which has been super fun, kind of getting that kicked back off and seeing all the kids and volunteers. And huge shout out again to our volunteers who helped make that ministry possible. But we've had a lot of kids that have been here. And the interesting piece about it was my daughter came home from after school this week and just said, you know, there are certain things that I really love about it, but then there are a couple things that I really wish that they would have kept. And I thought, well, what do you mean? Like, tell me kind of what you're talking about with that. And she said, well, there's just some changes that were made and it's just kind of hard getting used to it. And I was like, this is perfect. So obviously she hasn't listened to last week's podcast, but as we've been talking about change, we've even noticed how change is one of those things that even happens on kind of a small scale too, where my daughter is even sitting back saying, you know, there's certain changes that I just don't even like in life. And she's 10. So when we come just down to this point of understanding how we view change and how we handle it, you know, last week we talked about change in the form of keeping the end in mind, that as you change, you're moving forward into something else and you're kind of pulling yourself forward into something else. And so we're not really like ending so much as we're completing or we're finishing. And even in our own personal life, how we are essentially coming to a point where we have to finish that chapter or we finish that part of the story. And then we're moving into a new chapter or a new part, and our character is still the same, and our personality can still be the same, and who we are can still be the same, but the way in which we understand and move forward might look different. It might be different. And essentially how our relationship with Christ, when before him, we lived in this world where maybe it wasn't a huge amount of deliberate sin, but there was kind of that guilt and shame and sin that was attached to a lot of what we did. But then when we came into a relationship with Christ, the old life and the old way in which we understood things passed away. And that doesn't mean that our personality and maybe even our, like our mood or maybe even just the way that we look changed, but there's aspects of our character that changed. And even the way in which we see the world around us begins the process of changing. And so that's part of moving away from that old self and coming into the new self and the new creation that we have in Christ. And so as we talk a little bit more about change today, I wanted to kind of look through kind of some five things that I recognize that I deal with in the transition process from one change into a new thing. So in finishing one thing and coming into another thing. And I hit on them a little bit last week at the end of the podcast. And so I thought I'd use this week to kind of elaborate on those a little bit more. And hopefully as you listened to last week and you've come into this week, you've kind of asked yourself, well, do I handle change well? Like, is change something that I really take in? So think just real quick before we get into this. In your life, what are some changes that you have made just in the past week? Like from Monday to Monday, what are some changes that have kind of come about? And then even like a follow-up question on that is like, how did you handle that? Maybe it was at your job and there was something that happened. You're like, oh my gosh, I completely forgot about having to get this and this and this. Or they change policies, change rules, change the way that you view vacation time or comp time or things like that. How did you handle that? Did you handle it with a healthy dose of frustration, or did you handle it where you're just kind of go with the flow? Like, what was the process by which you adapted to that change and that understanding? Because I think the way that to do a little bit of self-analysis for us, a lot of times the way that we view and understand change depends on how we handle it. I know that there are times where there are some people that love change and they handle it so well. And anytime there's a huge adjustment, they're just like, oh, this is great. We're going to do so much. And there's just that joy and that excitement that comes in their life because they know that something new is getting ready to start. But then there's also on the other end of that spectrum, people who see change and they kind of hole up and they kind of look away from it. They look down and they're like, I can't do this. I cannot do one more thing or have one more thing that I'm going to have to worry about and deal with. And so on the flip side of that, you have one person super excited about it and another person who's going, if anybody else moves my chair from one spot to the other, I'm going to lose it. In a personal life, it can be kind of hard walking into those transitions and talking about those transitions and how we do that. And then when we begin to think about how that works in church life, we have to think, well, in the life of our church, how does that work? Like, how do we understand that change and that process where you've got some people excited about moving forward and you've got others that have kind of this healthy dose of skepticism and worry moving forward? These are both natural responses, I think, when it comes to the change that comes in life and how we transition into that change. And I started thinking a lot about through scripture, the way that the Apostle Paul writes to a lot of the churches. And in a lot of the churches, imagine that you have people that are coming out of pagan faith and pagan religions, a lot of them coming out of places that, you know, this idea of a one true God and then the one true Savior of Jesus This was a very foreign thing for them. And the fact that a God would come down to earth in human form and live and work and do, and then sacrifice themselves for the love of the people. Most of them are coming out of faiths and religions that are very works-based and very kind of existential self-driven. And so Paul has to do a lot of writing to help these churches steer themselves in the right direction to say, well, wait a second, now that you are falling under this, you have to understand that part of what you used to do and the process by which you used to do that no longer exists. Like we've put an end to that chapter. So here's kind of how we move forward in that. And even still, he had to write second letters to some places because there was still that healthy dose of skepticism to it. And you had some people that reverted back to old ways instead of adopting new ways. And so even throughout scripture, I think that we see that the scripture writes clearly of the transition process that people go through. I mean, I just imagine from even the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve, and you're sitting there in paradise and you're allowing yourself to be in, you're allowed to be in the garden where you have community with God. But then you next allow yourself to be subject under the things that you're supposed to be subjected over. And in doing that, everything that you knew and understood shifts and it changes. So imagine the process they had to go through. I mean, even Adam from the beginning, he's blaming Eve for the disobedience that's taking place and the sin that has happened. And it's like, well, I didn't want to do it, but she made me do it. How many times in our lives are we as Christians at that point where we say, well, I didn't really want to do that, but somebody else made me do that. Or I didn't want to change it this way. They wanted that. I think in a church setting, we have to come cooperatively together and say, you know what, even though this change isn't something that I particularly want and it's going to take me a while to understand, I'm good with it because I know that it helps push the overall ministry and message of the church forward. And I think that's a different state for us to be in mentally and emotionally and spiritually. But even still, I think that there are kind of responses that we go through in the transition period. And I want to talk about those just real briefly with you guys today. I don't know if it's this morning for you or afternoon or evening or maybe end of week or whatever that looks like. So, but there are five things that I kind of want to look at. And this is kind of how I handle transition and change in my own personal life. And I think how this can help you out as well. And the first thing that I usually do when it comes to transitioning from one thing to another thing is what I like to call the holdout, right? The holdout is essentially my desire to step back and say, well, I'm not going to do it. I mean, it doesn't matter. You can do it all you want to. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to hold out from that. And this can look at multiple ways within my personal life where people say, specifically, like my wife's real into Pinterest. And so she would talk about, oh, I want to paint our bedroom like this really dark, like deep blue or deep green. I want to paint the whole walls. And what would you think about painting the ceiling? And I'm like, no, that's a hard no for me. And I tend to hold out on a lot of those suggestions. I'm like, I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to do it. Like, we're going to do beige and white and that's it. Like, we're not going to transition in any other way. And then over this last year, there were some things that kind of, she said, well, hey, let's just try some stuff. And as we tried it, it kind of grew on me and I was like, oh man, this is actually really nice. Like, how do we add this in other places? And so, but my initial response process and a lot of those things is no, I'm not going to do that. Or no, I don't think that's right. And I think we do that in our personal lives when it comes to change. And I think it's also something we do in church life. We don't just accept and blindly look at it and go, oh, well, I'm just going to do it. Yeah, it'll be fine. Not a problem. But we kind of step back and say, no, wait a minute. That's not what's going to happen here. And part of that is we have that reservation within our hearts to say, is this really where we need to be going? We voice it differently and we may say it differently, but, and I think the reality is in our heart is we go into kind of a protection mode. So we hold out on some things. And protection isn't an unhealthy process. Protection is something that I think is genuine and heartfelt. And I think people really do desire to protect their families, protect their own selves, and protect their church. But at the same time, if we stay in that position, it keeps us from considering the benefit of moving forward or the ministry that God may have for us. So it's very limiting in that way. And so the first thing that I usually do is when it comes to addressing a new change, is I hold out. The second thing that I get into is after I've had some time to mull it over, I get into this process that I call mild acceptance, where it's not that I'm full-fledged saying, yeah, that's great, but I kind of have warmed up to the idea. And maybe that's a better way to phrase it too, is just I'm not fully in there. I kind of understand and I kind of see where you're at. And the stage from process one to process two can be widely different. It could be immediate or it could take some time for me. But then there's this point where I'm like, well, maybe this could work. Even when it looked at moving from Texas all the way to North Carolina, there was this process where it's like, man, I just don't think that's going to work. And then almost immediate from there, it was like, well, what if it did work? Like, what would that look like? How could that happen? How could this be? Like, how could this work out? What is God kind of opening up here? So there's kind of this mild acceptance of, well, maybe this could work. You know, when it comes to even renovating a part in my house, I step back and I say, well, I don't really feel like renovating it. Let's just leave it as it is. I'm like, well, it would look good if I had this and this and this and this and this. And I think even in church, there's moments where when we get ready to enter into a new chapter, it's like, well, wait a second. That could work, but and then we get into stage three. In stage three of that is the learning curve, where in the learning curve, we begin the process of saying, well, what's this going to take? Right? You know, let's say we did do that. And let's say we did move in that direction. What is it going to take? And we begin to weigh the pros and cons of things, right? Like in our personal lives, you know, I want to move in this direction, but what's it going to take for me to do that? And we begin to weigh those pros and cons about, well, the pro side, I can da 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 and do this. But on the con side, do I really have the skills to accomplish all that? When I look at our homeschool den that we have at our house, and my goal is to take the paneling off the walls in that den and then redo the plaster behind it and finish it out. And there's a huge learning curve for me because it's things that I've never done before. It's things I've seen done. And it's things that through the process of looking at it, it's like, that can't be that hard, right? But I've never actually done it. And so there's a huge learning curve, I think, that comes into adjusting to that change or making that change happen. And transitioning from the end of something or the finality of something to the next stage does require a learning curve because you're adjusting from one thing to a new thing. You're taking on something that you've known and you're kind of not really putting it away completely, but you've finished that task. You've completed that task. And now you're taking on something new. Anytime that you adopt something new, there's going to be a learning curve. For many of you, there was a learning curve moving from a flip phone to an iPhone or to an Android phone or a smartphone. For many of us, there was a huge learning curve with, well, how do we do this when it comes to, adopting this new thing? I've spent many times in my younger years doing the IT tech for my parents, right? And even just when we were there a couple of weeks back to spend some time with them, I even had to take just a few moments and hook up their internet for them because they were like, well, how do you do this? I'm like, well, you read the directions and you just do it. But that's kind of my approach to it. But in their minds, it's kind of like, well, how does this work? And I'm like, well, I can't really explain how it works so much as it just does. And so I just trust that it's going to happen. But there's a massive learning curve in there for you as you change from one thing to another. But then in that learning curve, I tend to, and this is me personally, I don't know if you're like it or not, but then I go to like a fourth stage, which is, I still don't like it. So even after learning about it, even after figuring it out, how it could work, even after getting the dream and the vision of how it could happen, I still don't like it. And part of that for me personally is it's going to require a lot of work. And when you're already stretched to the max as it is, or maybe you feel like you just don't have the time, or maybe it's just like, oh, there's no way I can make this happen. You're going to go ahead and revert back to like that, that number one again of like, okay, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. It's just going to have to stop. So it's like we grow. And then when we're like, wait a minute, how am I going to make this happen? We just kind of pull back and say, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to stop. I tend to do that a lot where I get in the middle of a project and I'll get started on something. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the work on this is just going to be too hard. There's just no way I can do it. But then I've already started it. So I've got to finish it, right? I've already started that process. So for me to try to go back to what was finished, I can't do that because I've begun the process. I have to keep moving forward. But sometimes it takes me a few extra days or a few extra steps or a couple extra weeks or maybe a little bit more learning. So I kind of put a halt on it until I can get that confidence to step into the next thing. I think we do that a lot in church life too, where we kind of put a halt on something until we can get into that next phase. And then we say, okay, well, now that we've really spent some time over it, what does it look like for us? Which then brings us to number five for me. Which is, well, that's not so bad. Or, well, that wasn't so bad. It wasn't as bad as I built it up to be. And that's a good stage to be in. Because I think when we get to the point where we can understand that change in my life wasn't so bad, well, guess what? We've grown and we've matured. And Scripture says that that's what we're to do, is we're to grow in faith and in maturity. That we're to grow in our understanding of who God is, that we're to grow in our understanding of life with the proper lenses of Jesus. And I think when we can do that, there are certain things where we can step back and say, you know what, that really wasn't as bad as I built it up to be. Or that change or that process, you know, going through that, that really wasn't as bad as I thought it was. And maybe that transition does look a little bit different. Maybe there were some times in there that were real rocky. Or maybe there were some times in there that were real iffy. Whatever that looks like, it's important for us to remember and understand that at the end of that change, when God closes one chapter and begins to write another, God's not going to write a bad chapter for us. He's not going to intentionally write a bad story for us. But yet everything that he writes for us is a story that allows us to grow. And every story that he writes for us in our relationship with Jesus is a story that helps us grow more and more in love with him. So real quick, and just to kind of wrap this up, the biggest thing for us today, I think, is to help understand that, you know, we can't really linger on one of those things. If we begin to linger on one of the processes, we begin to halt the growth that he has for us. And we don't want our inability to change to essentially inhibit the effective communication of the gospel through our life and through our church. So the biggest thing for us to remember, I think, is we can't force and ask people as a church to revert back to something when culture's already somewhere else. And I think for us, that's the hardest part about change. Our culture is always moving forward, and the people of our culture are always moving forward. And I think sometimes we step back and say, well, why can't they do things the way that we do them? Well, that's just not the way the world works anymore. Now, that doesn't mean that we aren't to be holy and set apart as Scripture calls us to, but that doesn't mean that we are to bubble ourselves away from our world, but rather we have to adapt a strategic in contemporary concept that helps us better engage the world that God's given us. So Providence family, and really anyone who's kind of listening, as this pertains to your personal life, understand this, that as we go through a season and as we go through the changes God has for us, he's not going to write a bad story for you. And he's not going to write a story that is intentionally hard and negative for you, but rather every story that he writes for you is going to be one to grow you and to prosper you and to help you see his beauty more and more. You may go through hard things in that story, but every hard thing that we go through is a development of our character and a development of our relationship with Jesus. So just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not good. And then for us as a church family, I think it's important to remind ourselves that God's given us the unique ability to reach people. And if he's given us the unique ability to reach people, instead of asking them to meet us where we are, we need to engage them where God has them. We need to engage them in the story that God has them in. It's almost like saying, hey, listen, I know where you're at in life, but in order for you to really understand, I need you to go back a few chapters and do that first before I'm willing to listen to this here. I think our past has built the foundational context of our future. And I think the elements of our past have built the foundational context of our future moving forward. What has happened over 200 years is people in this community through Providence Baptist Church have done the work of going out and sharing the gospel. And they've set that stage, they've set that tone, they've created that atmosphere for people to be able to come and worship in the community, to glorify God and worship him together. That's still our goal today. It may look different than what we're used to, but that doesn't mean that God is any less powerful in his ability to see people's lives change. So just begin to think about that just this week, about how God is using you to see the gospel work in our community and in our church. And it may be done in a different way than what we're used to. But just note this, that through that process, God is going to make some incredible things happen. So hope you have a great week. Join us next week. We're going to kind of do a part three on this where we wrap this up a little bit, and then we're going to be looking at some new episodes. Don't forget, if you are interested, if you have a topic that you want to discuss on this show, we would love to discuss any topics you have. Feel free to reach out to me at any time. And other than that, Providence family, man, I hope it is a great week for you. I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful time this week, and that God brings you back safely on Sunday and Wednesday so that you can be a part of the Providence family. So Providence family, love you, and I hope you have an awesome week.